after they play, you have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Scottish Cup 5th round. Celtic 3, Partick Thistle 2. Cove Rangers 1, Falkirk 3. Dundee 0, Motherwell 2. Hearts 3, St Johnstone 0. Kilmarnock 4, Brora Rangers 0. And Morton 3, Dumbarton 0. The Scottish Championship, Livingston 0, Dunfermline 0. In Scottish League 1, Alloa Athletic 1, Forfar 0. East Fife 0, Queen's Park 2. Raith Rovers 2, Airdrieonians 1. Scottish League 2, Berwick Rangers 0, Clyde 1, Cowdenbeath 1, Stirling Albion 2, Edinburgh City 0, Peterhead 0, Montrose 1, Stenhouse Muir 0. And in the English Premier League, Spurs 1, Arsenal 0, Everton 3, Crystal Palace 1, Stoke City 1, Brighton 1, Swansea City 1, Burnley 0, and West Ham United 2, Watford 0.
The open line is open. 0141 951 1025. This is your chance to have your say on whatever football matter is on your mind. Maybe you're a Celtic fan and you were at the game today and you're happy to be through, but you're a wee bit worried about the defence ahead of Zenit St Petersburg. Maybe you want to praise James Forrest. Thistle fans, maybe you want to talk about how well your team did but ultimately fell short again. Any other we already know so many teams in the hat, of course. Motherwell are in there, Kilmarnock are in there, Hearts are in there. So feel free to get in touch. We want to hear from as many of you as possible. And Rangers fans, looking ahead to tomorrow's trip against Ayr, comfortable win or potential banana skin? Let us know. Hugh Keevans, what will be in the mind of the Scottish footballing public tonight?
Well, if you take it in chronological order, the Rangers fans will want to know about the tie at Ayr tomorrow and the prospects of Rangers winning a trophy, a major trophy, for the first time since 2011. If you're a Celtic fan, you have the next game in mind, which is Zenit St Petersburg Europa League Thursday at 8:05 at Celtic Park. And the questions about the defence that have arisen in recent times. And if you are a Morton fan, for example, or a Falkirk fan, you're dreaming of who you might get. Motherwell fans, who might you get in that draw tomorrow?
Let's get straight to the phone lines then. I did say this was your chance, so get in touch. Let's give the chance, the first chance of the evening, to Marco from, well, he's from Glasgow, but he may well be in Wrexham. I don't know. Marco, where are you?
Hi, I'm from Glasgow in Wrexham.
But you're in Wrexham. Great. What's on your mind, Marco?
I'm a slightly concerned Celtic fan. So what I'd just like to throw past the panel is this, right? Well, I've got 2 points. The first point being, other than in Champ, who have Celtic signed of note, excluding loan deals, with all the money earned this year from the Champions League, plus the $7 million or so they're supposed to have brought in from the Van Dijk transfer? Marvin Cornperer, all $1.5 million of them. He was injured before he had the chance to do anything, and I'll get to injuries in my second point. But where is the statement £7 or £8 million signing to add genuine quality to the first team and help us progress in Europe, which all Celtic fans were looking for? I mean, Charlie Musonda is undoubtedly a talented player. Given time, I'm sure he'll be a success, but he's only young and he's not the finished article. What we need now at Celtic are more finished articles than exciting prospects, and also proper signings instead of just loan deals. So to my second point quickly.
Let's deal with that first, Marco. Marco, let's deal with that first, and I will let you back in. Just makes it a bit easier. Hugh Keevans.
Olivier Ndjam was Celtic's biggest signing for 10 years since the signing of Scott Brown from Hibs. When a club like Celtic publish their figures, as they must do, and when the fans can see £30 million in the bank, and that does not include the £7 million yet to come from the sale of Virgil van Dijk to Liverpool by Southampton, then, like Marco, fans will say, well, what about spending some of that money? As I understand it, a lot of money has been ring-fenced for the building of a hotel at Celtic Park, for the building of a museum at Celtic Park. But I think Marco's right. There is more to Celtic than just domestic football. And the loan signings are all very well, but people who can take Celtic a stage further are in short supply in terms of buys being made by Celtic. And, you know, there may be harsh lessons yet to be learned in the Europa League. So I agree that if you have all that money, you know, every now and then that you should be capable of a marquee signing.
I obviously know where you're coming from, but should we really just disregard loan signings as if it doesn't count? I mean, Charlie Musonda's 18 months. It's going to cost Celtic well over £1 million to get that deal done. He mentions Marvin Compere over £1 million. Jack Hendry was over £1 million as well. Listen, I know in today's market we love to see the big fees and we go, oh, look at what they've spent and all that. But that, well, so straight away, that's more than £3 million in this window alone.
The thing for me you're saying about big fees and Marco's saying, where's this marquee signing? Now, if you're talking about a marquee signing in Scottish football, what are we talking about? 7-8 million just now? It's the way the transfer market is and the way it's inflated, especially down in England, it's not going to get you anywhere near the quality player that you need to compete at the European level. You look down south at the players going and the price tags that are attached to them nowadays, and you think, really? You know, 30, 40 million for that player? That's average. You know, can he play in the Champions League? No, I don't think so. So Celtic's expected to go out and spend 8, 9, 10 million on a player that's going to come in and make such a difference? Well, I don't think it's going to happen.
Before we go back to Marco, I'll conclude by saying this. If Zenit St. Petersburg walk into Celtic Park on Thursday night and get a convincing win, the Celtic supporters will be entitled to ask, what's going on here?
Marco, what do you make of what you just heard?
Yeah, exactly, you know, but I believe that somebody like Brendan Rodgers must have a contacts book. We're not just talking about the English Premier League here. What about from some of the good but smaller leagues throughout Europe, trying to uncover, another player like Muravchuk or somebody like that, or the Japanese guy we used to have in Nakamura, these types of guys, you know, where are all they? They seem to have dried up, you know. But the other thing as well is the injury situation. I mean, two of the players he signed have got instantly injured. You know, I mean, if you look at injury, the players that are actually out or have been out recently, that's Gordon Boyata, Comprar, Armstrong, Rodgers, Griffiths and Patrick Roberts. That's seven first team players currently out through injury who arguably would be part of the starting 11. Now, that's caused us to face a team like Zenit St. Petersburg, right, where, like you correctly say, Celtic are not just about the SPL. We want to build a reputation in Europe. Now, if we'd done better business during the transfer window, then we wouldn't be in that position just now. And as I said as well, that my sort of part of my other second point was Chris Commons made an excellent point, I think, in TV recently about players being injured because of Brendan Rodgers' like sort of overly intensive training regime, you know. And I think that there's something in that, and it's no accident that a lot of these players are getting injured because they're actually doing too much in training.
Well, so, Marco, how do we explain last season then?
Well, last season the same training regime would have been in place, but we still had injury problems, you know.
Yeah, but Celtic won the treble, and they won the treble without losing a single domestic match. And
yeah, no, I'm not just talking about domestic games, Hugh. I'm talking about Europe. Let's focus in Europe, because domestically just now Celtic are far and away
But to deal with the injury question, first of all, you cannot have all the games that Celtic played last season, including European ties in the Champions League, with no injuries or none to speak of.
But at the moment it's a joke, isn't it? The amount of players have got out.
I mean, yeah, but you're describing it as a joke. For me, I describe it as bad luck. I mean,
I think there's more to it than that, Hugh. I think there's something in what Chris Commons was saying. Let's remember that Chris will probably have an insight into probably what's going on.
I think if they're all similar injuries, say you've got five or six hamstring injuries, then you go, maybe he's got a point, but they're different.
Sure, Armstrong, for instance, got a hernia operation.
And Boyata, his Achilles, he went down, or something like that, his ankle. Chris Iyer was his ankle. You know, Patrick Roberts, okay, hammy.
Marvin Compere injured straight away, so I'm not sure how long Brendan Rodgers' exhaustive training regime had to work.
For me, that's coincidence. You know, as Mark said, if they're all down with the one injury, then you'd have to have a look at it. But last season, many, many games on European and domestic fronts, and the injury situation was nothing to speak of. This season, plagued by injury. And I repeat what I said earlier on in the programme, that I think that the closing segment of the season for Celtic will be greatly influenced by the return of Rogic, Patrick Roberts, Stuart Armstrong, Lee Griffiths when he's fit again, because I think a lot of the players at the moment show signs to me of running on empty.
And Marco, let me ask you, we've got Scotty on Twitter who says that he thinks most Celtic fans will watch the Zenit game from behind the sofa. Could be a long night because of no confidence in the centre halves. Will you be one of them, or are you a bit more optimistic by the time the game comes around?
I'm always optimistic, you know. When I watch a Celtic game, I'm not one of the doom and gloom brigade. You know, I go there expecting or hoping my team to win. But just one little thing about the central defender, since you mentioned it. In my view, right, Svechenko is a better defender than Ayer Boyata or Simovinic, okay? And I don't know why Brendan Rodgers had allowed him to leave, both at a time when there's so many injuries into defensive positions. And I think him and Ayer, this sort of Norwegian partnership, if you like, you know, would actually be a very, well, very
he's
good
He's Danish, to be fair, Marco, worth bearing in mind. Danish, I know it's close, but...
Okay, but yeah, I think the two of those would actually work a lot better than what we've got at the moment.
I don't know if there's much between the lot of them. If I'm totally honest, I think each one of them, like Hugh's mentioned, has their mistakes and give away some cheap goals.
And Celtic, I know there's a cup tie issue and some injuries, but Celtic signed two defenders in January.
Yeah, yeah. So
they have enough
who's still to come
piece.
In, yeah, and prove themselves.
Eric Svechenko all of a sudden becomes a better player
because
he's not implicated in what's been going on recently. But Eric Svechenko, as Mark said, was just the same as Boyata and Simonovic. And also, to say Brendan Rodgers let the wrong guy go is kind of hard to argue with the managerial judgment of a man who has now won four trophies since he became the manager a year and a half ago, and managed Celtic to invincibility last season on the domestic front. It's kind of hard to suggest he doesn't know what he's doing.
Well, let's remind ourselves of what he made of today's game then. As you would expect, credit to James Forrest. Few negatives as well. These were the thoughts of Brendan Rodgers.
We got through, which was important. Well, certainly if we want to win the cup again, we'll need to play. We'll certainly defend better and play better from behind. I thought the story, we started the game very well. Our positioning was good, getting a great lead, pressed the game well, 2-0 up, so should have and got ourselves a real good foothold in the game. We make a poor mistake, which gives them a little bit of oxygen then, because they'd started obviously not as Alan would have wanted. And obviously when you make a mistake like that there, it gives a little bit of impetus to the other team, and I think it did that for the rest of the half. But we got together again half time, start well the second half, get our goal for 3-1. But I thought going forward we were good at times today. Some of our combination play was good, but our build-up play and was too loose from behind, you know. And then like I say, you know, they get the goal again from a poor pass and a finish by them, and then Kieran Tierney makes a, you know, brilliant piece of defending at the back post, which could have made it 3 each. So. Which would have been a really, really poor scoreline for us.
A real inspiring performance from James Forrest as well. Hat-trick today, he seemed to be everywhere.
He was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. You know, how he receives the ball and how his game has come on this year again into being a really effective player, because he's got that ability. You know, he's technically very good, one of the best receivers of a ball I've ever worked with. How he takes the ball in the side of the field or in the middle of the field, he's got a wonderful way of his touch, and then how he can move it off his second touch. And now he's adding goals to the game. He's got that hunger to score goals, and all three of his goals were absolutely outstanding today. So now he was the class player on the pitch and thoroughly deserves his match ball.
So high praise for James Forrest, and Scott Brown's actually waded into it as well. He's taken to his Instagram in the last minute to say that James Forrest is unplayable this season. Let's speak to Thomas in Cumbernauld. Hi, Thomas.
How you doing, panel?
Good, thank you. What's on your mind?
No, what it is, I'm actually quite worried about this game coming up on Thursday, because obviously if Partick Thistle can get us, can break us up in defence, why would we sign a defender that can't play in Europa, and when we need a defender he can play in this? Why? Well, just want to see what you think of that, panel.
I know that raised eyebrows at the time, Hugh Keevans. Yeah. Well, the only assumption is that Brendan Rodgers just felt that overall, in the bigger picture, it was still a player he wanted to have at the club. And whether he misses a couple of games in Europe or not, he obviously felt it was, you know, worth the risk.
Well, we've all to see Marvin Kompare play, so I certainly couldn't comment on how good a player he is. I'll wait until I've actually had a look at him. What I am thinking about where Thursday is concerned is that of the choices available to Brendan Rodgers, none of them, for me, with the exception of Kieran Tierney, would fill you with hope. Jack Henry, would you put him into the side?
I would.
Yeah, well,
Mark made a great thing earlier when he said that they might play the three centre backs all to cover each other and get the two full backs pushed that wee bit forward into the midfield role.
I'd be tempted to play Jack Henry because he can't be any worse than Christopher Ayer and Simonovic on today's display. I just feel that Simonovic is an accident waiting to happen. Christopher Ayer is young, has a future ahead of him, but again, is learning the position and is prone to mistakes as well. And Michael Lustig has dipped in form.
Going back to Compere, Compere, I can only think he's been bought for the qualifiers next year, the Champions League. That's the only way I can see around it. Celtic's got enough domestically. Okay, you might need a bit of experience in the back line, but Brendan Rodgers has obviously seen his stats and looked at his background and thought, yeah, he's a quality player. I've got a chance of getting him now. I'll bring him in. Okay, can he play? But come July, when these important, what is it? Is it three or four qualifiers now?
Four.
Come round, you've got, you know, an experienced centre half in there.
Thomas, yeah, on you go.
No, I just like to say that Mark, you're talking about next year, but this year we should actually be concentrating on this. This is to get us in the last 16 of Europa League.
Yeah, I understand, but I think to be the Celtic manager, you can't just think about the now. I know every Celtic fan is saying Thursday's the most important game, which it is, but Brendan Rodgers has got to be thinking the bigger picture, what he wants to achieve, not just what's in the future. I get what you're saying, and I get it's a frustration because Celtic are leaking bad goals at the minute, and this guy can't play. But come July, if this guy turns out to be a hit and he's playing in the Champions and looks solid, then you'll be taking your hat off to Brendan Rodgers, saying that was a right decision.
Derek,
yeah, I go along with that. I mean, I don't think Partick Thistle, you know, bombarded Celtic today. They were fortunate on a couple of occasions, but Simonovic was terrible at the second goal. I know the pass can happen to anybody. The second one would worry me. Just a punt over the top and a big lad pushed him out the road before he scored the goal. That is a worry. I mean, I don't know how Zenit and St. Petersburg play, to be fair. They've been off for a couple of months. We know they've been in Spain or wherever, you know, for warm training. They haven't had a serious game for a couple of months now. So this is them coming into it. I'm sure if they came to Celtic Park, they would be delighted to go away with a draw or whatever, but, or even a one-goal defeat. They'll feel, with them being out so long, and we're talking about a European tie against a big club, if they came away with something like that, they would be absolutely delighted.
But this is where it becomes a credibility issue, because if Zenit St. Petersburg walk in and beat Celtic, then for all the reasons you've just outlined, mid-November since they last played a competitive match of football, the Celtic supporters will say, this is unacceptable. Now, I think that to lose 12 goals over two games to Paris Saint-Germain is embarrassing. I think losing 7 in one game is embarrassing. I do understand you're talking about the best teams around, the best teams in Europe or perhaps the world. But there has been a level of defeat that is surely unacceptable to the Celtic supporters. And, you know, Thursday night now becomes important in terms of the club's prestige, image, call it what you like.
Were you at a game today? Were you watching the scores come in? What stuck out for you? What annoyed you? What made you happy? Get in touch, 01419511025. Or maybe you're looking ahead to tomorrow's games and you've got some thoughts you would like to share. Well, share them with us.
After the action, it's your reaction. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Derek Johnson, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans are here, and they're desperate, in fact, to answer your calls. 01419511025. We're going to hear from victorious Motherwell boss Stephen Robinson. Maybe a good chance for the Steelmen to get involved if you want to let us know about your cup run, what you saw at Dens Park today. Now's the time to get in touch. In the meantime, though, let's hear from Stevie in Paisley. Hi, Stevie.
Hi, guys. How are we doing tonight?
Not bad, Stevie. You?
Not bad, not bad. Apart from the doom and gloom, but not bad.
You mean other people's doom and gloom rather than your own?
Yeah, definitely. I've got a couple of points, but obviously my first quick points about Celtic, and I think the fans need to remember way back 6-7 years ago when you weren't even playing in February in the European competition. We're going through a wee lull just now. Every good team does it. I feel that we're kind of a wee bit all over the place just now, but that we'll come out of that. as you said, we've got a few players coming back. We've gone through just a wee lull. I mean, you got to get Kilmarnock last week. They're the form team just now, the same as Motherwell were. But we've won the League Cup. Everything going to plan, we should win the league. We're still in the Scottish Cup, and I just can't wait for Thursday night.
Mark, on the face of it, that is pretty hard to argue with.
Great point. I mean, there is a lot of doom and gloom.
People will look in a bit more detail, which is fine, but...
And it seems like, you know, some people have got Celtic beat before Thursday. But, you know, Stephen makes a great point how the season's... Brendan Rodgers came out and says, if you look at everything he put out on paper, they've achieved it so far and they're still there just now. And again, in his presser after the game, he says he hopes the occasion lifts the team. I might just need a bit of European football again to lift the Celtic team. You know, it's been a long time since the Champions League finished to now, and we know what kind of atmosphere it generates at Celtic Park. Maybe this is a game that just lifts them. And it's because Celtic have been beat twice. Okay, they've not been the sparkling form they were last season, but by no means is it a disaster. You know, and they do lose goals, but every team goes through stages of losing sloppy goals, so it's not a disaster. You'd like to hear a wee bit more optimism for Thursday night rather than the, oh, here we go, this is going to be an absolute hiding because they concede a couple of Partick today and one to Kelly last week.
Steve is an optimistic man, perfectly entitled to express his optimism, but surely those who do not feel as optimistic are entitled to speak.
No one said they weren't entitled to speak, Hugh.
Well, Stevie talks about doom and gloom and then says Celtic are in a lull. And, you know, if you just watch the game, a piece of defensive ingenuity by Kieran Tierney prevents Celtic from losing three goals at home to Partick Thistle and having to face a replay in the Scottish Cup. In the match which comes immediately before Zenit St Petersburg, I think people are entitled to say, I'm not confident about the defence.
Stevie?
No, I mean, sure, obviously I agree with most of your comments, but you've no divine right to go and beat a team. If you're not playing that well, you've no divine right to just go out there and say, right, we're going to win. We've won the day, 3-2.
Yeah.
I go back to the times when we were getting beat, totally dominating games and getting beat 1-0 and coming off going, what's just happened there? I appreciate our defence is a shambles. You know that I phoned up in November and was looking for a defender. I'm quite happy we got the big boy in. When I look at the balls today, Doris de Vries didn't even touch the ball till the 36th minute mark.
Yeah.
You know, took the ball at the net. And
yeah.
So, again, that's it. But from that...
But Stevie,
can I just clear something up there just as a bit of comic relief? Did you mean 36th minute mark as in the mark in the game and then you thought he was talking to you because that's your name?
Well, my name is Mark, so it did sound like that. I think it's been a funny season, okay? Because you served something so perfect last year that it's incredible.
Oh, definitely.
And people are saying Celtic, oh, they're not as good as last year, which, in performance-wise, no. But in terms of where they are and achieving, they're better off. Because they were out of Europe last season.
But
you know,
Stevie,
what I mean? So,
Stevie, you just said the defence is a shambles.
Yep.
You said
Sure, I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that at this particular moment in time, Simonovic, Ayer's only a young boy. Simonovic is a man that, as I spoke to you in November, I wish we'd cashed in on. We didn't, and I've always spoken about Boyata and Gordon. But again, I think in the summertime, we'll add another centre-half. But I want to move on to my next point, just because you're back, Hugh, it'd be ideal. We obviously speak a lot about the Scotland job.
Uh-huh.
Now, I brought up the players, or the managers that I was looking for, who are obviously are away now. Paul Lambert was one of the big ones for me. We lost out on him. What do we know, Hugh? I mean, because it is a shambles.
For me, we don't know anything. We don't know who's next up for interview, if anyone. I can only offer you my personal...
But Walter Smith only fell apart yesterday, didn't it? Maybe I'm being optimistic. I'd like to think they've worked on a plan since then. Who knows?
I would not rely upon
and
that.
And what won't happen this time here is it won't be just one person the interview. I think there'll be several that will interview.
Well, there's never going to be. It's always been a three-man selection panel.
Stevie, I'll simply give you my take on it. And my take on it is that we should go to Malky Mackay and allow him to be national team manager while still overseeing Project Brave. If Northern Ireland can do it with Michael O'Neill, make him the manager on an extended contract, plus make him what they call the chief football officer for Northern Ireland. If Northern Ireland can do it, then we can do it. Malky Mackay has a track record in management and has the skill set to do this job. So that's my personal opinion on the matter.
Can I ask Derek a quick... Derek? Is Derek there?
Yes, I'm here.
Derek, obviously you've still got your connections at Rangers. Did Walter want the job?
Well, I think if he was waiting on a phone call, you know, to talk to Scotland, I think he would want to listen to what they've said. I mean, I said last week I don't think he would take the job, but he didn't wait even to get to an interview. He decided that wasn't for him.
To be fair, though, he was clearly interested at the start. Hugh Keevans, it's not like straight away he just went, that's not for me.
I don't know if he's interested. He wants to go and hear what people have to say. That doesn't mean necessarily that he's willing to listen.
Yeah, so.
He wants to listen to see what they say, and obviously he wasn't prepared in the end to do that.
I have no doubt in my mind that had things been conducted in the manner in which they should have been conducted, he might by now be the Scotland manager.
If anyone keeps a track of the English Premier League late kickoff, it's Man City 1 Leicester 0 after just 2 minutes on the clock.
What a ball.
For all the talk about Riyad Mahrez this week, he's not playing much of a part at the moment, and it's Man City. That pass from Kevin De Bruyne is unbelievable.
Raheem Sterling at the back post once again.
If you want to let us know what you're thinking about the games today, maybe the games tomorrow, maybe even that Scotland managerial situation, we're here on 01419511025 and we're willing to listen. Let's listen to Stephen Robinson, because his Motherwell side are through in the Scottish Cup. It was a 2-0 win against Dundee this afternoon. You would imagine he'll be a happy man.
It was a fantastic performance, really, really good. We've done the simple things very well. We played in their half of the pitch, and when we got it, we played some really attractive football in their half of the pitch as well. I thought the former boys were a real threat all afternoon. I thought Nadir and Curtis Tanner caused real problems. And then when you need to defend, saves like Trevor Carson, performances like Charles Dunn, that's all that needs to come together to win football matches. And I think over the last month since we come back, the majority of our performance has been like that.
Craig Tannell seems to enjoy playing against Dundee. 3 games, 3 goals.
Yeah, his record when he starts, he scores a lot of goals. I still think he can work harder. We can still get more out of him, so that's a testament to him, because he's scoring a lot of goals and creating a lot of goals. Same with Nadir. If we can get them two working even harder, then who knows where it can take us.
Was he in danger just before half time, Nadir? He'd been booked, the one in the corner, the guy seemed to smash him in the face, he was getting involved in everything.
Yeah, he was involved in everything, because he was holding the ball up for us, he was taking a lot of pressure off us. You know, his talent's unquestionable. But I think you've seen today his attitude was excellent as well. He didn't get involved in anything. You know, he kept on with his football. We took him off in the end just to make sure nothing happened. He's on a booking. But I thought he was terrific throughout, as were, you know, every player on the pitch today. Very, very good performances.
Is Curtis trying to claim the goal, second goal?
Well, because he puts the pressure on. You know what I mean? That's not a good ball if you don't put pressure on. But if forwards are willing to chase and hurry, they make defenders make mistakes at this level, and he deserves to have any ounce of credit for it.
You don't know who's long ball at the moment, do you?
I'm not 100% sure. No, you were watching as well, and a few other things I was watching as well, unfortunately.
What are you hoping for in the next round of the cup?
Listen, last time we got there, we had to play Aberdeen, we had to play Rangers to get there. So if you're going to get the cup final, the likelihood is you're going to have to play the top teams to get there. So we'll take whatever, preferably a home draw would be lovely for a park where we've had good form.
Stephen Robinson, he's right up there in terms of words per minute from managers in our league, isn't he?
He's in a rush to get somewhere,
I think. He's an enthusiast, isn't he?
Listen, they're top six, they're in the last eight of the Scottish Cup. The man is doing a fine job.
Yeah, it's one of those as well, Mark. When you get drawn against another team from the same league as you, away from home, it's never going to be easy. So to get up there and do it 2-0, it's comfortable. It's not outstanding. Yeah. It's comfortable, and you move on. And you've already got a League Cup final under your belt for this season. What type of belief you can garner from that run, I don't know.
I think it's a terrific result, because Dundee, a lot of the media attention was on Dundee, and a lot of the talking points surrounded Colcar and would he play. And of course he doesn't play today, but a lot of the attention was on how this one player would make such a difference. And Motherwell just went about their business quietly, had that midweek game and went and got a fantastic result.
01419511025, let us know what's on your mind. David's in Bells Hill. Hi, David.
Hi guys, how you doing?
Good, David. You?
Cut 2 points if you don't mind. One regarding Celtic and one regarding the Scotland position at the moment. First of all, Celtic, I'm a maybe slightly different from a lot of calls. I'm a very optimistic and positive Celtic fan now. The way we've got to look at this is Celtic at the moment, as I think we'll all agree, we're certainly punching above our weight, certainly in Europe at the moment. So my thoughts are, why should we go out and spend 20, 30? I mean, Mark made a good point earlier that if we're going to buy any players to strengthen and make us go further, particularly in the Champions League, we're going to have to spend money. You're talking 40, 50, 60 million pounds. You just look down south, you know, Kyle Walker going to Manchester City and Van Dijk, you know, going to Liverpool. Celtic don't have that sort of money. Now, the thing is, getting, you know, where we are in Europe is where we are. You know, we're punching above our weight. We're never going to win these tournaments. So let's enjoy being in the Champions League. Let's enjoy the nights out and the games that go with it. And our bread and butter, unfortunately, whether we like it or not, is domestically in Scotland. That's the way it is. And at the moment, our team and our squad is miles better than anybody else. When you look at guys like Tierney, Cham, McGregor, Rogic, these are all young players we've got that, you know, will develop, they'll get better, will sell on for a half-decent profit. And I like your thoughts on that. I think at the moment some fans need to take a back seat here and just accept that, you know, we're never going to win the Champions League. We're never going to win the Europa League. So having a good run in Europe is an added bonus. And we need to enjoy it and just accept that where we are in Scotland is where we are.
Do you think that Brendan Rodgers came here purely and simply to play Partick Thistle in the Scottish Cup?
No, but he's still in the Europa League. That's David's point.
But no, Brendan Rodgers came here, Stuart, because one, he wasn't working. And two, Brendan Rodgers came here to develop and do his best we can. Now, the fact Brendan Rodgers wants to play in the group stage of the Champions League every year, and I don't think that's, you know, I don't think we should, I think we should, we're comfortable getting there. I think getting to the group stage is where we're at. We're never going to get beyond that stage. Look at the good teams that are not even making it that way. I mean, if we think we're good enough to get to the last 16 or the last 8 of the Champions League, we're delusional. We need to do that, we're going to need to go and spend 50, 60, 70
well,
million pounds.
In that case, your principal shareholder, Dermot Desmond, is delusional then, because in his last public statement, he said that that's what he wanted to see, Celtic as a last 16 team in the Champions League.
When was the last time Celtic done that here?
But, Neil Lennon was the last man to do that. Yeah. I just think it's a kind of negative outlook. You know, that all this, we are what we are, and Europe is what it is, and we don't, there's no point in spending money. Brendan Rodgers came here to enhance Celtic's reputation on a domestic and European basis. And it's getting slightly embarrassing for Brendan Rodgers to take excessive hammerings from people. There are ways of strengthening. I do understand that Celtic will never win the Champions League. I do understand that winning the Europa League would be a very, very tough ask as well. But this constant, oh, well, there's no point in trying because it would just be hopeless. For me, that's a negative attitude.
Do you see if Falkirk get knocked out of the Scottish Cup at the next level? Do you think we should be calling, the Falkirk fans should be saying, well, Paul Harvey should be sacked because we never spent enough money?
You're really not arguing like with like here. Come on.
Why? Falkirk are punching above their weight in the Scottish Cup.
Well, you know, your optimism, that's it. Your optimism takes the form of Celtic are punching above their weight. I'm very happy.
More of that to come, I'm sure, after these.
The games are over. The talking begins. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Derek Johnson here with me, Gordon Duncan, on the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. If you're just joining us, been a great day of Scottish Cup action. Celtic 3, Partick Thistle 2 in the early kickoff. In our featured games at 3 o'clock, it finished Hearts 3, St Johnstone 0, Kilmarnock 4, Brora Rangers 0 and Dundee 0, Motherwell 2. The calls keep coming thick and fast. Let's look at that game at Tynecastle though. Let's hear from Craig Levein, because his post-match comments and his pre-match comments have taken on new significance these days. You're listening, who's going to get it this week? Is it going to be Scott Brown? Is it going to be someone else? Maybe it's going to be no one. Let's find out.
In the first half, I thought it was tight. There wasn't a lot of great football played. They bombarded us with free kicks, corners, long throws, and admittedly we handled it fairly well, but at the same time it was a little bit concerning. We managed to get the formation of the fixed a little bit in the second half when it came to long throws, and I thought we it's much easier to deal with. But they do test your mettle. Luckily enough, we've got Christoph and Aaron and John Souter in good form, and the goalkeeper, who said himself he didn't have an awful lot to do today. But when he was needed, he was good.
Derek's been threatening a goal, wasn't he?
He has, yeah. He said that earlier on, actually. He's been unlucky not to score. And I thought I was right behind it. I thought it was just beautiful to watch, you know. I could tell as soon as he left his foot, it was going in the top corner. And the biggest thing for me is the delight on his face when he scored. Football's a great game, you know. When you see kids doing something like that and feeling so good about themselves, it makes me smile.
It's 14 for Kyle now as well. It's a great return.
Yeah, and I thought the first one was a fantastic finish. I mean, I thought Arno was his best game of the season today. He's had problems injury wise, and he's only really getting up to full speed just now. And I think that showed that he was more prominent in today's match than he's been in any for a while. He stole the ball, played Kyle through, but it was a ridiculously tight angle on his left side. But I mean, it's not the first time he's scored a similar goal.
All very low-key, all very complimentary. This will never catch on.
But he said it made me smile.
No.
He said there, yes, he said it made me smile. So we've found something that makes Craig Levein smile.
I like this tweet from Willie Laidlaw. He says, geez, give the Walter Smith debacle a rest already. It's been discussed every day this week. Time to move on. Well, Willie, he only knocked us back yesterday. So if you think we're going to ignore that, unfortunately we're not going to. And my phone lines keep lighting up with people who want to talk about the Scotland situation, so you're going to have to bear with us, Willie. I like to give the people what they want. Peter's got some Scotland thoughts. Hi, Peter.
Hi there, how you doing?
Not bad, you?
I'm good.
Good stuff. What have you got to say on this subject then that people seem to be getting quite distressed about?
I think we're looking in the wrong areas. Don't see why we shouldn't be going for Joe Jordan and Harry Redknapp.
Why are you laughing, Mr. Keevans?
Honestly, you know, it's the scattergun. Just think of any name whatsoever. Big Joe, you know, if he was involved in some Scotland setup with the experience he has, the knowledge of the game, fine if he was employed in some way. I don't think Joe would want to be the Scotland
as
manager.
As an assistant, yes.
And, yeah, and
exactly,
really,
Peter wants to see him as Harry's assistant.
But with respect,
it would be Harry is the manager and Joe Jordan as the assistant, the way they've been for the last couple of jobs they've had.
I don't know whether this is a wind-up or I'm supposed to take this seriously.
No, sell it to us, Peter. Hugh's been very cynical, as he always is. You tell us why it would be a good idea.
Well, Joe Jordan, obviously Scottish, played great for Scotland. Harry Redknapp got knocked back for an England job. He's got a point to prove, and I think he's at the age now. I don't think he could do day-to-day stuff. So the Scotland job would be ideal for him, I reckon.
Well, I will not be cynical. I will simply say, not in a million years.
Any advance on that? Anyone care to disagree with you, Kevins?
I wouldn't complain if Joe Jordan was an assistant there, because I think he's had enough experience down south in the big leagues, you know, with some good managers. And I think, you know, I think people would look up to him, players would look up to Joe Jordan and listen to what he was saying. But he would have to have a strong manager there with him as an assistant.
I would get transfer deadline day, Harry hanging out the window. He's found somebody's got grandparents for
Peter Crouch
Brazil.
Is in.
He's in.
Who else? Nico Cranchar. Yeah, exactly. He's getting the old band back together. Yep, Defoe maybe.
But you see, that's where this is taking us now. We've got ourselves into such a mess, starting with Michael O'Neill via Walter Smith. We've got ourselves to a position here where people are actually putting forward Harry Redknapp as a serious suggestion.
just I want to be clear though, what in particular is turning you off the suggestion? Because you don't think it would ever happen, or because you don't think he's a good manager? Just so I can figure out where
Harry's
you're coming from.
Harry's had a very good career, and I've met the man and interviewed the man, and he's a terrific man. But there's a real job of work to be done here, a job that will be the ramifications of that job will be felt for the next 10-20 years. And with the greatest respect, Harry Redknapp's not the man to do it.
Peter, you were at the Celtic game today as well though, weren't you?
Yes, I
was. What did you make of it?
Well, I don't want to say too much, but as everybody else has been saying, the defence is rotten. Going forward, we're doing okay. I just think we take the foot off the gas at times, and we just need to keep going and going because we know our defence isn't that great, so we're always likely to concede.
Maybe some of the previous callers, Hugh, who've tried to be a bit more optimistic, are right in the sense... Imagine you had avoided the score today, right? You didn't know the score. You listened to this programme, you listened to the calls coming in, and you listened to some of the comments. You would assume Celtic had lost today. That I'm pretty sure about that.
Now, there's a funny thing that goes on with Celtic supporters. You know, Peter said it himself, I really don't want to say too much. What, is somebody like around to your door?
But that's what I'm saying. You would assume that Celtic had lost today, given some of the reaction, and they didn't.
If you went to that game, I mean, I know you, Celtic fans would have been worried at certain stages, especially that. But what a fantastic game of football. Sometimes these early rounds of the cups can be drab affairs where it's not a full stadium and, you know, it's, oh, here we go again, same old.
But you know what, it was made with a bad pass back. It allowed Partick Thistle to get back into the game because then it became a real game again.
I think Celtic will get better once Patrick Roberts, Armstrong, Rogic are all back in contention. I think it's been real bad luck for Brendan Rodgers to have lost players of that calibre and all at the same time. But the side at the moment, as an earlier caller said, they're going through a lull. And the next game up, which is the one that you can just discuss, Zenit St. Petersburg, if Celtic defend as they did today, there will be consequences.
Now often we get good radio from Tommy Wright because he wears his heart on his sleeve. He's often very passionate, very angry sometimes after games. So I wonder what he's got in store for us this afternoon. He lost 3-0 to Hearts. He admitted during the week they're in a bit of a scrap. They're now out of the cup as well. Here's St Johnstone boss Tommy Wright.
Ultimately, when you give away two goals that we did, you can't win a football match. I don't know what Joe's doing. We were working throw-ins yesterday. I certainly wasn't trying to launch it into Murray on a bobbly pitch and cause him a problem. So we've gifted him the first goal. We actually started the game quite well. Probably two or three opportunities off Joe's long throws that nobody goes and tacks a ball across a 6-yard line. Have a good chance with Scott Tanzer in the first half, get into good positions, overcomplicate it. Second half come out, nothing in it. We're in the attack. Scott or David should put the ball in the box instead of dwindling on it. Lose the ball, counter attack, wonder goal, 2-0 down. And we're making mistakes to contribute to the two goals. And that's why we're 2-0 down. Not great finish for the second goal and a great finish from Lafferty, but the two situations shouldn't arise, and that's why we're at the cup. We've made mistakes again,
and that's the thing. Hearts don't give away goals themselves, so as soon as you're down one, then you're,
we do.
You're,
I mean, we're giving away goals. I've just sit them in there, the number of goals we've given away, but the first goal's the worst goal we've given away all year. I just cannot, for the life of me, I don't know what Joe's thought process is to take that throw in and put it where he puts it. There's no explanation for it. It's not where we want him to take the throw in and what we want to do, and he's put somebody under pressure. But overall, we've just made far, far too many individual mistakes this year.
You don't often hear managers single people out. Mark Wilson, Joe Shaughnessy is getting it tight there from Tommy Wright, isn't he?
And imagine if that's the way he is in the press conference, imagine what the poor guy must have got in the dressing room, and especially for a throw-in, not for a pass or like you see Simonovic doing today, for a throw-in.
I'll tell you what, Leicester City have just equalised. What a goal from Jamie Vardy. Watch it later. Wonderful goal.
Yes, if you're keeping an eye on things, it's Manchester City 1, Leicester City 1 at the moment. 25 minutes gone at the Etihad. Plenty of life left in that game yet. We had a cracking day of Scottish Cup action. Celtic are through, Hearts are in the hat, Kilmarnock, Motherwell, Falkirk and Morton as well. We'll find out tomorrow if Rangers, Ayr, Aberdeen or Dundee United can do so. Hugh Keevans.
They will be joined, those six teams who were successful today will be joined by Rangers and Aberdeen in the draw after Aberdeen have played Dundee United at Pittodrie. So I can only conclude today's programme by repeating what I said at the start of it, that today we lost a fine young man, a vibrant life extinguished far too early. We can only say, as we think back in our football, remember tonight in your thoughts, Liam Miller. Rest in peace, Liam.
Thanks to Hugh Keevans. Also a big thank you to Mark Wilson in the studio. Hope it was enjoyable for you. A rare foray into the studio. Thanks to Derek Johnson. Thanks to the top team all around the grounds. And as always, the biggest thanks though goes to you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for getting in touch on Twitter and on the phone lines as well. I know somebody who'll be a happy man tonight. His name is George Bowie. Morton are through in the cup and he's up next with the GBX. Good way to start your weekend. We are back 6 o'clock on Monday.
One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.